This is a replay of the Wednesday night, February 21st WGN show. We started at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. And very few of you did last night. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If that's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, providing it's relatively inconsequential. And we hope to have a good time, especially as we also, with a nod, celebrate the birth anniversary of Scotty. Yeah, Scotty would have been 82 today. And if you've listened to the show for any length of time, you remember Scotty. Terrific, terrific caller with a wonderful, wonderful group of R&B songs, doo-wops and such that he'd always request. And so we'll play some of those tonight, among other things. But while I was listening to the opening strains of Do-Do-Do-Ba-A, by Bert Keys there, as opens us every night. And actually, I should say that more often because we do get requests for it from time to time. I was looking, where is Atkinson, New Hampshire? Because I got to tell you, I've never heard of it. But apparently it's a relatively small town, and, you know, I've never heard of it because it's not on an interstate, of course. But it's not too far from the Massachusetts line, now that I've seen it on a map, I guess. But still, not close to what we call any metropolitan areas, to say the least. All right, so why am I asking this? You know, every now and then I see these articles where it's like, what? In this case, Atkinson, New Hampshire, there's a new business, and it's stirring up a bit of talk and controversy. It's the diaper spa. Now, that would be fine if it was about a daycare or something like that. It's not. It's a haven for adults who role play as children. Apparently, the spa is open to, quote, all diaper-wearing individuals who seek acceptance, respite, and care, unquote. It's not for senior citizens either, you know, incontinent or such. No, the facility's decorated just like a nursery with toys and adult-sized cribs. And by the way, $200 an hour for a virtual play date or the $1,500 experience that pampers the little one inside of you. Now, the owner swears that there is not a sexual component to this. Yeah, well, I don't know about a sane component either. Some of the Atkinson residents are concerned and have said this is something I will never expose or be willing to expose my children to. Well, they're not looking for children, of course. They're looking for demented adults. But the owner of this new business says, people tend to fear anything they fail to comprehend. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm afraid of it, but I don't comprehend it. So there there you have the latest news, and I just couldn't pass up sharing that with you because I saw that just as the show was starting. Like, what? All right, then. Yeah. Now, other things of note, there's always several, but again, if it's on your mind, it's on mine. Last night, we were talking about the Everly Brothers, and a caller asked about the dispute with Wesley Rose, and I said, you know, I know that's tied to the Boudlow Bryant thing, and where once the Everly Brothers changed labels, they couldn't record anymore Boudlow Bryant after like Cadence. Well, it was actually a little more complicated than that. Or maybe a lot less complicated than that. But when I read into the details, because when I got off the air last night, I knew that there was this disagreement that Wesley Rose had been upset, and Wesley Rose, of course, a publisher, Acuff Rose Publishing in Nashville, when the Everly Brothers dared to record a song that about 1961 that wasn't in the Acuff Rose catalog. And Wesley Rose said, well, I'm going to ban you from recording any Wesley Rose material. Now, that part was not stunning. Here's the part where I turned to John and I said, you know, there are times that I can understand when I hear there's been a murder. Fortunately, there wasn't in this case, but I wouldn't have been surprised if there were, because what Wesley Rose did is the Everly Brothers were actually signed to Wesley Rose as writers, and they had written material in the past. And what Wesley Rose did is prohibited the Everly Brothers from using their own material, past, present, whatever. So the Everly Brothers, the only way around it was to write under pseudonyms, and Wesley Rose successfully sued them. So that was the story on that. I wanted to pass that along because I said, I'll look into this. And when I saw that part, I had not heard that he was prohibiting them from using their own material, but why am I not surprised? All right, then we have the story of poor Joey. Joey's donkey. And actually, I'm very glad to read this as I sit here with my third bottle of Mexican Coke in the last as many hours, because the donkey lives in England. He's been mourning the loss of his mother, obviously another donkey, Josie, and he hasn't been himself. And apparently, he stopped eating, and then he developed a gastric impaction, a blockage that was threatening his life. But the vets just devised a solution. They force-fed him Coca-Cola several times a day to dissolve the solid mass. It worked! All right, 6 liters of Coca-Cola a day, and it acted like a drain cleaner. So all of you who say that, you know, I'm going to ruin because of my Mexican Coke, no, absolutely not. I'm with Joey. Yeah, there's a good side to this, too. All right, yes, it is ridiculous, and it will be will be all night. But if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. Gloria. Gloria. Yes, those are the Cadillacs, and that was one of Scotty's all-time favorite records, and it is obviously a doo-wop classic, and that version by the Cadillacs on Josie in 1954 is probably the first doo-wop version, certainly not the last, probably redone by more vocal harmony groups than maybe any other song. Everybody from the Passions to Vito and the Salutations and, you know, much later the Manhattan Transfer and Vince Vance and all that, but interestingly, it did not start out as a doo-wop song by any means. It was a pop standard, and it first came out in 1946. Leon Renee wrote it, the guy who wrote When the Swallows Come Back to Capistrano, but also the guy who had wonderful R&B labels like Class. Yeah, such great stuff. But in any event, it was first done as a pop standard, and the guy who first did it was Bob Hayward, and it didn't sound, I'll tell you what, it didn't sound like Vito and the Salutations.
Not Sherry, it's Gloria. She's in your every dream.
I should check to see whether the 78s are skipping before I actually put them on the computer, but I guess not. Yeah, I did that one in a rush, but yes, so that was a pop standard, but the Cadillacs version was something that Scotty and I had talked about often, so I figured as a tribute to Scotty, we should start out with that, maybe play some more of his requests as well. And Jimmy P. called, he wanted to hear something by Nino and the Ebb Tides. Yes, and I don't know if Fran has ever heard this, Fran in Austin, but since the song is Franny Franny, if she hasn't, she should. Now, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. I mentioned many times I was more than a frequent flyer for most of my life, and finally it just got to the point where in 1999 I said, I am never getting on one of these again. Yeah, meaning commercial aircraft. I said, I am just not doing it. And I never have. And I don't plan to. But I'll tell you what. If I was thinking about it, the stories that have come out lately would certainly dissuade me of the notion. The latest, and what's shocking about this is not that we're hearing reports of it, but that a passenger actually caught it, captured it on video. The wing came apart. Fortunately, it was United, by the way. It was a 757. It was the back of the wing. Now, anybody who knows much about aviation realizes that's a lot better than the front of the wing in terms of the likelihood that you're not going to have a problem. And the flight took off from San Francisco, and as it took off, here's a passenger looking out the window. Oh, there's San Francisco. Doesn't it look nice? Oh, there's the bay. And that lovely, there goes the wing. Well, part of it, anyway. And literally coming apart, and on the pictures you'll see like the shreds of the metal. The plane wound up being diverted to Denver. It was on its way to Boston, but when the shredding began, they figured, well, we'd better land somewhere. Fortunately, as I say, this would be pretty horrifying to watch as a passenger, but again, by virtue of where it was on the wing, it was entirely possible to land. Fortunately, or we probably wouldn't have seen the video and everything else. But as I was reading this story and saying, how the hell? Yeah, I recount some of the others we've heard about lately, the most shocking probably being the door plug, which is the size of the door that came off on an Alaska flight. But apparently, you've heard about all the problems with the Boeing 737 MAX. You know, of course, again, apart from doors you know, coming off and things like that. But now they've done some checking, and United took all the Boeing planes in and discovered, among other things, and this was the part that what? Discovered that incorrectly drilled holes were on the fuselages of 50 737 MAXs. From what I understand, these were undelivered. They were ordered by but not yet delivered. And yeah, incorrectly drilled holes. Now, by the way, that may sound like nothing to you, but God only knows what could happen with that that type of damage. But there was a list of some of the things that have happened lately. And you say to yourself, how can that possibly happen? And what apparently the chair of the NTSB safety board said, it could happen again. Not comforting news. So there was a Boeing plane that had to make a forced landing in Japan, cracked windshield. You might have heard about that. Another one lost its front tire as it was preparing to depart. At Atlanta, we have a Delta bound for Bogota, taxiing across the runway into takeoff position. It was another plane who said, something's amiss there on that plane. It could be, yeah, that it has no front tire. Yeah, more good news. But a UK passenger was alarmed after noticing pieces of tape on the exterior of a 787 during a flight to India and took photos, and it began peeling off mid-flight. Yeah, I pointed it out, pointed out to spouse who says, "I wish you hadn't shown me that." Yeah, mid-air, I would say so. And apparently, others said they made loud complaints. Yeah, I'd say drive. Wherever you're going, just drive. 888-876-5593. And I realize I say that tongue-in-cheek because obviously, even with all this news, statistically, you're safer on that plane than you ever would be on the highway. So I recognize that. But still, it's an alarming number of incidences. And then you have passenger behavior, which is probably what did me in when I said, I'm not doing this anymore. The latest was a guy who got on a plane and referenced the horror of the diarrhea that had downed a plane. And he said, "You think you smelled anything before?" And he started to expel gas wildly. I don't know how, but needless to say, the flight attendants made sure that they taxied back to the gate because he hadn't yet taken off to disembark him. And so between the passengers and the planes, I don't know. 888-876-5593. As I say, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And we will have more stuff for Scotty. No doubt about that. Other than that, let's see what I can tell you. The next full moon is this Saturday morning, 6:30 a.m. Central Time. It's the snow moon, if you keep up with moons, which means the next new moon is Sunday, March 10th, as we were mentioning, and the shadow of Mercury retrograde will be coming up soon, and we've talked a lot about that. So what else is going on? Usually, this day is good for some proclamation. And I still want to know, maybe during the news I'll look this up, because every time we talk about this, I say, I'm going to look up to see who awards these things. How does they decide that it's Chocolate Mint Day? That was yesterday, by the way. I hope you celebrated. Now, tomorrow is Single-Tasking Day, Be Humble Day. However, on Friday, it is International Dog Biscuit Appreciation Day. I'm not going to even begin to wonder, how they determined that. I say that because probably anybody who has ever had a dog has occasionally done this, well, at least once. Yeah, you're chomping away and you realize you just ate the dog treat. Yeah. Well, that hadn't happened to you? Well, it has to me. 888-876-5593. Let's find out what's going on in the world at large from WGN Radio.
Now, darling, that it's all over and done, I remember how our romance had begun. We had a wonderful night of bliss, and it all started because of a kiss.
Because of your kiss, now I know I can't forget. Just because of your sweet kiss.
It was a Scotty request. Yeah, Andre Williams on Fortune Records, and actually probably never heard it before, but Scotty certainly had. And the flip of it is of course what was interesting, because Fortune Records, great little label out of Detroit, and Nolan Strong and the Diablos, things like that, but they rarely made the charts. And on the flip side of Just Because of a Kiss, they were like a top 10 record on the Billboard R&B charts nationally, which caused Epic to pick up the record for national distribution. But the flip side, that was the big hit, Bacon Fat.
Tennessee, all my friends was glad to see me. Seen some down by the railroad track, seen some cotton pickers with their sacks on their backs. They say, hey man, we're glad to see you back. We got a new dance they call Bacon Fat. It goes, oh, have mercy. Help yourself, young. Then you go.
Yeah, WGN Radio. And that is, of course, Andre Williams. And, of course, my favorite would had to be Jailbait. Yeah, 15, 16, 17 is still Jailbait. Yeah, all right. Well, 888-876-5593. Well, at least I found out, yes, it did, during that commercial respite, I found out what certified Chocolate Mint Day. And yes, it's Chocolate Mint Day. That was on the 19th. You missed it. And that was certified by the United States National Confectioners Association. They've declared it. So I guess on all these days, it's you know, I mean, some of them, obviously, like President's Day, they're federal holidays. I get that. But, you know, when they have something completely else, like, I don't know, National Pajama Day, things of this nature, it's like, who certifies this? Well, apparently various organizations, and I do not know, you know, how they in any way get it official, and maybe it just isn't. There are a number of chocolate days, by the way, in case you're interested. Chocolate Pudding Day, Milk Chocolate Day, Chocolate Pecan Pie Day, Milkshake Day, Chocolate Cupcake, Covered Anything Day, and Cake Day. Yes, probably all the Confectioners Association, I would think. So we've got Jimmy P. on the South Side, and I am pleased to see that, because very often he'll leave me phone requests and we try to get them all on the air, but always good to talk to him in person. So welcome back to WGN Radio. How's it going, Jimmy P.?
Hey, how you doing, Riley? Hold on a minute. Yeah, I got to thank you for acknowledging. Are we on the air?
Yes, we are.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, I unplugged my radio. I just wanted acknowledging Scotty's.
Yeah.
And he personally helped me out. There were two songs I couldn't figure out for years, and one of them was We Are United by the Love Notes.
Sure.
And the other one was, I think it's Pray All You Sinners by the Dandelers.
Uh-huh.
So if you could play just one of them in remembrance of what Scotty did.
Oh, sure,
He helped me out a lot. I couldn't figure out for years, you know. And I still think about, well, naturally, with my I love doo-wop, too, so. Yeah. Thanks for remembering him.
Oh, absolutely, and I'll get Pray All Your Sinners. Oh, that's interesting. I thought I had it on this computer, the original, and I've got a remake by the Tramps. I don't want to think about that. I'll find the original for...
Whatever you're doing,
no, I'll find
Scotty.
But also, I found your Nino and the Ebb Tides, Franny Franny. Which,
I think she'd like it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to play that as well. So writing these down because, of course, I can't hold a thought hostage. Let me find a pen here. So Pray All You Sinners. And what was the other one?
United by the Love Notes.
Yeah, United Love Notes. Okay, you got it.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, appreciate it. All right.
Okay.
So, yeah, I find I have to write things down. It can be 3 minutes later and just gone. Now, 50 years ago, like it was yesterday. But 10 minutes ago, forget about it. So, always good to hear from Jimmy P. It would even be better right now to hear from you or anybody, truth be known. Or otherwise, I'll just go through the calendar and see what other thrilling days it is. Yeah, that's and the days throughout the decades of when chocolate mint observances are had. The interesting thing about the calendar is it also suggests how you observe them, and it's got a delectable looking piece of chocolate cake. I don't know if there's any mint in it, but I'll stop looking at that right about now because I'm getting hungry. So what else do we have going on other than Chocolate Mint Day? I don't even want to know how you celebrate Single Tasking Day, but I'm sure somebody will have something to say about that. But yeah, so it is the 21st of February, and sadly, like I say, we're celebrating, but Scotty is not here to celebrate with us, and we were glad to have him while he was here, but gosh, we miss him. All right, so the Fleetwood's Barbara Ellis turned 84 yesterday, and so, of course, I'm always looking this up, because Gary Troxell, he was the guy in the Fleetwood's. As you know, or if you heard me talk about it before, he was part of a Supreme Court decision in the year 2000, and he was he brought a case to the Supreme Court for grandparents' rights. His son had committed suicide, and he was spending a lot of time with the grandchildren until their mother got remarried and cut them off entirely. Well, the decision is as you would expect, and, you know, those are always hard situations, but ultimately the parents' wishes prevailed. So I wasn't upset about the ruling, though I was sad for Gary, but I thought, all right, now this is now 24 years almost, 23 and a half years since that decision. The two grandkids are grown, daughters. Have they gotten back together? Has Gary ever seen them? And I don't know. I can't find anything about that. I know there was an article about 5 years after that Supreme Court decision where he and his wife were interviewed, and they had not seen the grandkids whatsoever. They saw a fleeting glimpse of them in a city at one point, but nothing. So I don't know whatever happened there. But it was interesting because while the Fleetwoods were performing, as Carol noted, said he didn't like touring. Well, it was worse than that when he got drafted. And so Bob Reisdorf, who owned Dalton Records, just picked another guy on the label, Vic Dana, to be the stand-in. So a lot of the Fleetwood's tours, while Gary was touring, neighborly speaking, were done by Vic Dana. And as far as that goes, Gretchen Christopher is still singing. Yeah, she's going to turn 84 on Leap Day, February 29th of this year, and Barbara Ellis turned 84 yesterday. So, all right, Barbara's not performing. She's retired, as is Gary. But Gretchen's still singing. All right. So 888-876-5593. 81 candles on David Geffen's cake today. Born in 1943 in Brooklyn. Who else do we? Walter Becker would have been 74 yesterday. Sadly, he died young, 2017 of cancer, just 67 years old. So who else do we have? Nancy Wilson would have turned 87 yesterday. Ah, she was so good. And she actually started by winning a talent contest in Columbus on WTBN-TV6. Yeah, and went on to perform on a number of local shows. And then, of course, nationally, as you know. So there you have it. This date in 1958, the Everly Brothers were in Florida. Yes, this is before the Wesley Rose fiasco. Oh, but it was big. Yeah, I'll tell you what, like I was saying before, I can't imagine that that they took that well. But in 1958, they were doing well, and they were at the Kellogg Auditorium in Orlando, when Orlando was basically still just railroad tracks, neon, and a few trailer parks. But they were not alone. Buddy Holly and the Crickets, Bill Haley and the Comets, Jerry Lee Lewis. Then they went to Tampa the next day, and Jacksonville, and West Palm, and Miami, and Fort Lauderdale. So it was the Florida tour. But yeah, on this date in 1959, the Platters were on American Bandstand doing Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. And in 1960, on Dick Clark's Saturday Night Beach Nut Show, Bill Haley and the Comets were singing Shake, Rattle, and Roll. Frankie Ford, though, was doing Time After Time. Oh, man, I'm going to look for a clip of that. Johnny Tillotson, Yeah. Why do I love you so much? Okay, so no hits there. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And let's see. We'll, Fran from Austin called. Well, she's got to hear Franny, Franny. And you'll hear it next coming up on WGN Radio. From 1956 on Acme. Yeah, Franny Franny. All right, and speaking of Franny Franny, how about Fran and Austin? So, welcome back to WGN Radio.
That was cool. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I never really thought about it, so I'm glad that that Jimmy P brought it up.
Yeah, well, he must have heard me one night. I was talking about there are no songs about with the name Fran.
Right.
So
now there is Franny Franny.
Yeah, the closest I got was Francine.
Oh.
But, all right. Song too, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and it was the first.
Terrible if a song came on it and I hated it.
Well, true enough. But it was also the first record that Nino and the Ebb Tides released. It was the only one they released on Acme.
I've never even heard of them.
Nino and the Ebb Tides? Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely you have. Maybe not Jukebox Saturday Night, but they did a version of those Oldies But Goodies Remind Me of You, know, the Little Caesars and the Roman things. And, yeah, there are a number of horrible songs by Nino and the Ebb Tides that you wouldn't like.
It might have just, I mean, I probably have heard their songs. I just didn't know who they were.
Right. Yeah, Jukebox Saturday
Night. It happens
Night
a
is
lot.
One of them. Yeah, well, absolutely.
Oh, Jukebox Saturday
but
Night? Oh, okay.
Now, it's not the same one that was a country hit.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, if you.
Sopping Up Soda Pop Ricky's,
yeah,
Your
yeah,
Heart's
yeah,
Delight,
yeah,
Dancing to Swing and Real Quickies,
yeah, yeah.
Box Saturday Night, that one?
Yes. So, there you go. Yep.
God, I can't believe I just rattled that off.
I know. You see, but what you did yesterday, forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
Yeah.
And it seems like the more I forget of now, the more I remember of then.
Oh, absolutely. 100% true. Things that you never thought about before suddenly appear in the mind, and you're like, why did I remember that?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. And yet, you know, I can't remember what appointment I made or something.
Yes, yes. 100% yes. And the things you remember, I mean, it's like with alarming detail. You can remember every bit of it.
Yeah.
It's like, I haven't thought about it in 60 years. Why did that come up now?
I know. But
yeah.
Anyway, the reason I called was to talk about a book I'm reading now.
Yeah.
It's called But Will You Love Me Tomorrow? And, of course, it's about girl groups in the 60s.
Yes.
And they have a lot of interviews with members of, you know, the Chantels.
Yes.
And, you know, various other.
Yeah, the Ronettes and the Vandellas and all that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They've got, you know, and they've got, you know, quotes from different ones of them. And I guess, like, for example, some of the people in some of the other groups thought that the Chantels were stuck up. because their fam, like their you know, whoever was taking care of them or their family or whatever, mm-hmm. didn't let them socialize.
Right.
So it wasn't that they were snobs and didn't want to. It was that their family wouldn't let them.
Right.
Socialize with the other girl groups.
Right.
You know, just little nice little interesting tidbits like that. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, I kind of already know because I've been,
sure,
you know, interested in the stuff for, you know,
it
forever.
It sounds great. In fact, now that you've mentioned it, I have just added it to my cart in Amazon.
So, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, so you betcha. Now, what else is in there? All of a sudden, I looked and said, it can't be that expensive. Oh, no, I see. I had other books in the cart. I'm saying, wait a minute. Yeah, right. Yeah, all right, sure.
For my blind and visually impaired friends out here, I got it on Bard.
Good.
So, good. Just so that you know, and it's also on Audible,
uh-huh.
if you like to do it that way.
Excellent. So. No, that's a good find. I can't wait to get it.
All right.
All right.
I'm interested to know what you think of it.
You will. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
And that's where we'll pick it up next hour with Dave in Sioux City, Iowa, and James on the South Side, and you two coming up on WGN Radio. And the reason that Jimmy P has trouble finding it is it's not Pray All Your Sinners, it's May God Be With You. And May God Be With You is actually the flip side of Little Man on the States label in 1956, The Dandeliers. And Dallas Taylor wrote it, and he shared lead on that with James Campbell. So a fine, fine song. May God Be With You. All right, so 888-876-5593. That will take us to Dave in Sioux City, Iowa. What's happening tonight, Dave?
Yeah, I'm in Forest City, Iowa,
and
I write music. I'm a composer.
Good.
And I wanted. Do you know what billion-dollar corporation is located in Forest City, Iowa?
I'm almost afraid to ask. What do they do? you know, let's.
They make campers and RVs.
Oh, well, let's see. Of course, I think that Forest City might be near Winnebago County, so could it be Winnebago?
Hey, bingo.
All right.
You got it? Yes. Yeah.
Right.
So I was looking through the patent list owned by Winnebago Industries a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I noticed the name of somebody I knew. Can I say his name?
Sure.
On the air?
Sure,
okay. Well, the guy's name's Ron Holland.
Okay.
He's pretty well known in Forest City. So I went over and I mentioned it to Ron, and he said, yeah, and this is 1975. Yeah, I worked there. He said he worked there. Oh, I didn't know he worked there. And says, but Winnebago owns the patent.
Of course.
He hasn't made any money.
Right.
What?
Of course. They would have to.
Well, I don't like that.
Well, here, okay, let me explain. And by the way, copyright, as you say, you're a songwriter and all that, copyright law is different from patent law in some ways. But the one thing that is the case is if you are working for somebody at the time you develop something, they own it. Because it is work for hire. That, unless you have a contract with them that says you own it, they automatically own it.
Okay.
That's
interesting.
That's from
you're
the beginning.
You're educating me there.
No, that's from the beginning of time. That's always
really?
Been the okay. That's always been the case. Yes, because it's work for hire. They're paying you to develop something, so they own it. Now, if they weren't paying you a salary, this is a different deal that would become contractual.
Yeah.
But if you are an employee, unless you have a contract that specifies otherwise, which is very rare, a work for hire belongs to the employer.
And also, their lawyer told me that they have the employee sign a contract that gives Winnebago the rights
but
to their intellectual property.
And that's smart that they do that, but they actually wouldn't have to. And the reason I say that is if they were a salaried employee and they developed something while they were working for that company, then that company owns it. That's de facto law.
Okay. Really? I didn't know that.
Always. Always.
Huh. Interesting. So anyway, if I wanted to popularize my one of my tunes, I would, I asked Lisa Stoll if she would do that. She said, well, she'd be interested. And she's a Swiss Alphorn player. But,
All right. Well, now, again, when we're talking copyright, we have somewhat different laws. But so you're a songwriter, correct? All right. Now, as long as you do not assign your publishing rights to somebody else, then you control the song. But what that control means is that you can determine who the first artist of the song is, but after that, you cannot. It's compulsory copyright law. As long as they pay you the 9.1 cents for every copy sold, anybody can record it.
9.1 cents or percent?
No, 9.1 cent per. You see, it used to be originally, the old copyright law was basically 2 cents per selection per side. Well, the current current rate is 9.1 cents, unless it's over 4 minutes, I think, and then there's a $1.70, 1.75 or something per minute. But in any event, the deal is, the bottom line is, you control, as the songwriter, who records it first. But after that, you have no control. Now, if you have signed with a publisher, you know, you're going to have somebody publish your music, you no longer have that control. They do.
Okay. So if I write the tune and I find a lyricist to write words to my tune,
Then you're co-authors, and unless you have a contract to the contrary, you'd be splitting it. Now, sadly, in today's world, you each could go with a different publisher. They do allow for percentages that way. It becomes a mess, but it happens all the time. So, your lyricist, unless you specified otherwise, would be a co-writer. Again, the question is, are you going to use a publisher?
Oh, I never thought about that.
Well, the advantage to using a publisher, of course, if it's a big publisher who has an in with a lot of artists or a lot of labels or all that, they're more likely to be able to get your songs placed with people who might make you some money. The downside is, of course, they control. If you sign to a publisher, they now control. And what I was saying before about the Everly Brothers, Wesley Rose controlled first use because he was their publisher, and he wouldn't allow them to record it. In order to keep that, he wouldn't allow anybody else to record it either, because once you allow anybody to record it, anyone else can record it, because that's compulsory licensing.
Yeah, I got questions. I'm seriously doubt anybody would want to publish my material, because they don't publish stuff like Misty, as far as I know, and Fly Me to the Moon.
Well, no, those were big records. Absolutely, the publishing rights on that is severe. Yeah, that would be worth fighting for if you held a copyright to Misty. Yeah, or Fly Me to the Moon.
No, but I mean, if I wrote stuff like that today, I'm not sure that it who ended
right. It would be a specialty market, no doubt about that. And yes. You know, if you're looking at that, you either have to look for specialty publishers. There probably are some, or you'd basically self-publish, and then you'd be in control of all of it.
Yeah, that's probably what I'll do.
Yeah,
self-publish. But you know, these YouTubers, they don't get a lot of views on for music.
Well, that's the problem of the internet. Nobody has ever searched for something they've never heard of. So that's the biggest problem. If somebody could figure out a way for an unknown to get that kind of distribution, be wonderful. But right now, you go to Google, you search for something, it's something you're looking for. You already know it exists.
Right.
You know, so that's the problem
but occasionally
something goes viral. It can happen. I wouldn't want to, bank my life savings on it, but it can happen.
Yeah, except I do look for things I've never heard before. So I'm looking for things.
How do you do that? No, that's not true. You're always looking for things you've heard of. It might not be a specific song or a specific artist, but it might be tuba players or, 50s pop standards. I mean, you're using some search term that you've heard of.
Oh, okay.
Because how else would you do it?
I don't know. I just listening to music from Bavaria and Tyrol.
Okay.
And I listen to girls who play the Styrian harmonica.
Okay, so you see, you could search for you could search for that. You could search for Bavarian music, Styrian harmonica. These are things that exist. You know what these things are, but you can't search for things you've never heard of.
Yeah, but one good thing about YouTube is they do suggest things that you don't look for. I mean,
of course they do. Right, of course they do, but it's usually things that already have a lot of hits.
Well, and also they give you things that are similar to what you're looking for.
Right, absolutely, but again, those similar things usually are things that have a lot of hits. They're not suggesting things that three people have heard.
Okay, that's interesting. Anyway, I sure enjoy talking to you.
Oh yeah, no. Well, good
and
luck.
I will
come up with a way to do something that would be an easy search for someone, and that will help you.
Okay. Well, it's acceptable to use somebody else's title because
titles are not copyrighted, but that's a sticky wicket as to whether you want to do that, but you can.
Yeah. I don't know any other way, but.
Well, first, let's get somebody to record something that you've done. You can't worry about if it's going to get views on YouTube if you don't have anything to put on YouTube.
Yeah, that would be the perfect, is to have somebody who has, let's say, 50 YouTube, does 50 YouTube tunes, and then they do your tune, and this way you can see how your tune compares to the other tunes.
Yeah, if you can get somebody to record it who already has some type of a mechanism to get hits or has some type of awareness among people who like whatever it is you're doing, then sure, that's going to get you further. But that will be your first use, and after that, anybody can use it.
Oh, but yeah, I've tried that a little bit. I haven't had much success with people, taking me up on it, so...
Well, right.
Anyway.
That's almost going to have to be a one-on-one. You know, somehow you get to somebody who is interested in what you are doing, where they'd want to record it.
Yeah.
Can you record it yourself?
Oh, I do. Yeah, and actually, there's a fellow in town here with a recording studio. Believe it or not.
Of course, I do.
Town of 4,000.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just anyway. So
yeah, absolutely.
We'll try to get it done here.
Well, good luck. Let me know how you do.
I will.
Actually, I have heard of recording studios there, but is it Secret Squirrel? Because they're around.
No, I don't know what he calls it. It's guy's name is Gino.
Okay, because you do.
It's on.
You do have choices. Is it on Clark Street or where, or J Street? Where is it?
Yeah, it's on J Street. Just, oh yeah, that the J Street off Clark Street.
Yeah, J 133 East J. That's Secret Squirrel.
Oh, you're. Oh, I see. Okay, I didn't know his name.
Yeah, no,
I know him as Gino. So.
Right. Well, the name of the studio is Secret Squirrel. So obviously I would assume that he is a comic book fan. I don't think he has a website.
Oh no. Well, maybe his little investment will eventually grow into a.
Yeah. He's right by ALM, which is another studio that's probably been there. Maybe, well, actually, no, that's not true. Never mind that. But yeah, Secret Squirrel and probably your best shot there. And they do video too.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Raleigh.
All right. Thanks for calling.
We'll
keep me posted.
I will.
Appreciate it.
Take it easy.
Right. Yeah, it's tough. It's absolutely tough, no doubt about it. But, you know, in some cases, self-publishing is probably the way to go. Yeah, get involved with the wrong publisher, and, you know, now they're controlling it. So if you are doing something on your own and you're thinking about getting in bed with a publisher, make it a limited-time agreement. Have things revert back to you after a period of time so you're not signing it away for life. 888-876-5593. Oh, we're going to talk to Ken in Chicago about podcasting and, of course, James and his stories, and you too, coming up on WGN Radio. Yellow. Okay, maybe not. All right, so with that in mind, we'll we'll just talk to Ken in Chicago. Hey, Ken, how's it going?
Raleigh, good evening. How are you?
Can't complain.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
You know, I started a podcast a couple of months ago, and at times, and I haven't done anything because I don't want to violate any rules, and I'm not quite sure if my question to you is really going to take you off topic tonight, as with the previous caller, a musician.
There are no topics, so anything you want to talk about is fine.
So when I have a guest on, and some of the guests are really good, I have, and most of them are friends. I'm a musician, so I know a lot of people that are in the music industry. And so I have two guys that played in a band with me, and now they're in the horn section with Frankie Valli and the OJs and stuff like that. And I wanted to have them on, and as an introduction, I wanted to play a little couple of snippets, a few seconds long of each song of them, you know, when I introduce them. It just seems like you can't do it, and I've tried. I don't know if, you know, I've tried calling Universal. I've tried calling BMI and ASCAP. No one's getting back to me because I'm a little guy here, and they don't want to deal with me.
Yeah.
But I'm for the show itself, I'm thinking I'd love to be able to have some kind of a license, but it looks like it's so darn expensive. And then I've been reading about something called the Fair Act or something where you...
Yeah, in terms of...
It's a gray area. It's
right,
a very gray
area. It's absolutely murky, yeah. I think that fair use, I'm not sure I'd want to hide behind fair use.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, no. Yeah. I did before, wasn't there, I'm not. All right, so anyway, sorry about that. I wouldn't just assume I could do fair use, but the problem is when you're talking about putting parts of hit songs on something and you're going to maybe put it on YouTube, they're probably going to yank it anyway, just on their own, because they're going to say that's copyright infringement.
Correct.
Yeah. So,
and I just can't seem to get an answer from anybody. It's really sad. I mean, I've looked into some of the licenses and they're just so ridiculously expensive that I couldn't afford it to do it. And so,
enhance
the show.
It's terrible. Even the worst thing is when you're dealing with sound exchange and trying to do something, because as a little guy, it becomes confiscatory. And what's unfortunate about that is sound exchange is the organization that is approved by Congress to collect the royalties for all the streaming that we're talking about. And every 5 years, they have to renew what those agreements are. Now, of course, all the big players have all their lobbyists for this, that, and the other. But the little guy who just wants to play accordion music from the 40s on his podcast, he doesn't have anybody who's protecting him. And so, unfortunately, you don't have minimums that make sense for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
and that's the way that.
Well, I guess
is.
I'm no better off than before I called you.
You're right. If you're looking for me to find a workaround, I can't. I wish that I could, because my heart really goes out to all the people who are trying to just share the things they love, even if it's some of my obscure doo-wop or whatever, where technically they're in violation and they don't have the kind of money to have the mandatory minimum license. So
right.
I wish
well,
there
I
was
appreciate,
some good to take it. Yeah.
I kind of knew one calling you, and yeah. I thought, oh, well, maybe there's a rainbow here.
Yeah,
and,
I wish. I wish. It. If I ever hear of one, you know, I'll bleed it out on the air immediately.
Have a great night, Riley.
You too. Thanks for calling. All right, and that's where we'll pick it up, right here on WGN Radio. James Coco Taylor, 1969 on Chess. Actually, it's an album cut from a self-titled Coco Taylor album that Chess released in 69. A number of things good on that, including Wang Dangu. And it was Dave in LaSalle who requested we played that. And yeah, Willie Dixon arranged it, and there's a buddy guy was on it. A number of others as well were on that song, which is fine. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Dale is in Downers Grove. What's happening tonight, Dale?
Dale yeah. is in Downers Grove.
Yes.
With a G.
Oh, okay. And well, John has made you Dale. All right. Well, we'll change you back to Gail. All right, Gail, what's up?
Not much, really. Can't sleep right now. So I thought I'd call in since you were encouraging that.
Yes.
And a very long time ago, because I've listened to you for a long time, you were talking about Sergio Mendez and his different records and people of that type.
Uh-huh.
And you mentioned that you had a favorite that was a whole different name that I've never heard before, a man. But I was just wondering if you could come up with what his name was. I don't know if he had records
Maybe Marcus Valle. Usually that's, Marcus Valle would be an absolute favorite. But there are many more as well. But, yeah, I loved Marcus Valle's stuff.
How do you spell that? Is it V-A-L-E-T?
No, V-A-L-L-E. And it's not Valle, it's Valle, because it's Brazilian, not Spanish. And it's Marcos, M-A-R-C-O-S. Oh. And he had a couple albums that were released stateside in the in like 1967 and 68. One was an instrumental album called Brazilians, and the other was Samba 68. And there was a number of things on that were just wonderful. But the earlier Sergio Mendes stuff, you know, before there was a Brazil 66, some of that is just so good. And then there's a number of people who didn't make it stateside, like Tokino and Vinicius. I love some of their stuff. You know, everybody knows about Jobim, as rightfully so, but there's so many, many others.
Well, you know what? The one you just mentioned that I can't write fast enough, Tocchino.
Tocchino and Vinicius, like Esse Menina or Se La or Tarde en Itapua. I'll play you some of that, and maybe that's what you're thinking.
Anything, just for a change of pace, I'd love it if you did an evening of kind of, or a theme, couple hours of that kind of thing,
yeah,
just for fun.
Well, I'll definitely play the three I just mentioned here. I won't even wait for a commercial break. I'll just play you some of all three of them, and you can tell me what you think of Tocchino and Vinicius.
Oh wow, that would be awesome. That's what I really enjoy a lot, and I thought I really would like to check into some of these other names that you had mentioned a long time ago.
Yeah, there's just so many.
I didn't have a pen then.
Yeah, right. Well, Tocchino is just like it sounds, T-O-Q-U-I-N-H-O. And Vinicius, of course, he was so famous, V-I-N-I-C-I-U-S. And they were sort of an unlikely pairing because Vinicius was so much older than Tocchino. But great, great stuff. So I'll play you some of it, and you tell me if you like it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you very kindly.
My pleasure.
All
right. Good deal. Yeah, so they got together. I think it was the early 70s when they got together, but it was a little surprising, like I say, because Tocchino was so much younger. But, those are the three for me, Esse Menina and Tarde M. Itopua probably are the two. And Se La also. Well, here's Esse Menina.
Você não tem mesmo o que fazer, essa menina. Como é que você já fica toda feminina? Como é que você olha pra mim com essa falta de respeito? Olhe que isso assim não está direito, essa menina. Você novinha assim, toda se empina. Como é que você, quando me vê, sai requebrando desse jeito? Tudo nesta vida tem a sua hora, viu? Pois você me diga agora onde é que já se viu ser colhida assim tão fora de estação. Olha essa menina sua, vá-se embora, tenha compaixão. Eu já nem sei mais o que fazer com essa menina, sem desmerecer sua beleza tão divina.
And that was on the album they brought out in 1971, appropriately called Tocchino and Vinicius. And actually, Se La was on that as well. Now, Tarde en Itapua was a little later, but Se La I thought was always nice too.
Tem dias que eu fico pensando na vida e sinceramente não vejo saída. Como é, por exemplo, que dá pra entender a gente mal nasce e começa a morrer. Depois da chegada vem sempre a partida, porque não há nada sem separação. Sei lá, sei lá, a vida é uma grande ilusão. Eu sei lá, sei lá, só sei que ela está com a razão.
Sei lá, sei lá.
A gente nem sabe que mal se apronta, fazendo de conta, fingindo esquecer. Que nada renasce antes que se acabe. Eu só fico esponta, tem que adoecer. De nada adianta ficar-se de fora. A hora do sim é um descuido do não. Sei lá, sei lá, só sei que é preciso paixão. Eu sei lá, sei lá, a vida tem sempre razão.
Sei lá, sei lá.
That was on that too. Now, a couple of years later, like I said, Tarde en Itapua I thought was just a terrific record too.
Mm-hmm.
velho calção de banho. O dia pra vadiar, um mar que não tem tamanho e um arco-íris no ar. Depois na praça caí-me, senti preguiça no corpo e numa esteira de vime. Beber uma água de coco é bom, passar uma tarde em Itapuã, ao sol que há de Itapuã, ouvindo o mar de Itapuã, falar de amor Itapuã, passar uma tarde em Itapuã, ao sol que há de Itapuã, ouvindo o mar de Itapuã, falar de amor Itapuã.
Itapuã is a beach that is hours south of Rio, but it's a really nice area. There's a little radio station there, Radio Itapuã, that used to play some great stuff. Yeah, in fact, I think that's the first time I heard a lot of Gal Costa stuff. But anyway, that's the deal. So happy to do that because it always puts me in a better place, truth be known. So that's where we'll pick it up. We got James's stories and hopefully your calls too coming up on WGN Radio. James, and that is Robert Palmer, Addicted to Love, and that was Johnny D's request from night before last, I believe. Well, last week, maybe. In any event, 1985 on Island Records, and yeah, Addicted to Love. So, James on the South Side has all sorts of stories for us, as usual. How's it going, James?
Fine. How are you?
Well, I guess I'm all right.
Okay, thank you for having me on.
Always. Now, of course, people behaving badly, you have an unbelievable amount of those. I guess there's no shortage of that. So in terms of looking these over, what caught your fancy?
Oh, my goodness. There was a couple ones that I thought, really? Okay, there was one where, of course, it's unfortunately a local one where the guy killed seven people and his girlfriend pretty much covered for him because I guess he was the father of her child, and I'm like thinking. But he killed his own flesh and blood.
Well, there was a lot of that. I mean, if we're thinking about killing your own flesh and blood, oh my good God, you have over a dozen of those.
Yeah, and that one, and they still don't really know why. That's what's the weird part about that one.
Yeah, Absolutely. And then there are stories you have, it almost borders on political, so we won't spend a lot of time with it, but 8 states move to ban utilities from using customer money for lobbying. They lobby? You know, I had no idea. And so it is. I guess they lobby for better energy deals. I don't know, but that was, maybe that explains why the bills are so high.
Yeah, there's a couple of kind of nice ones where they found, I think this had gone missing, and then they were lucky to find a different state, and they also found the perpetrator, because what had happened was they kind of got lucky because the guy made a mistake and left the person he was abducting alone long enough to at least get a message out.
Well, nice when they come back. Hang on a minute, don't go away. We'll pick it up there now. The ones that catch my eye usually aren't the murders, because there's far too many of them. Easy Bake Oven sends entire family with 8-year-old girl to the emergency room. More good news and more news coming up on WGN Radio.
Doop, doo, 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 doo.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Together we'll be, forever we'll stay, till eternity. This love will stay, yes, and every way, from now and days to come. Star in the sky is the token, oh yes, of true love.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Love Notes, Manhattan-based. Yeah, that was Johnny Hicks doing lead, and three guys and a gal, and she was Lucy Rivera. In any event, that was a request that Johnny D had, a very unknown record, truth be known, on Holiday in 1957. And they only had one other release that was also on Holiday, so there you have it. Now, we were talking to James on the South Side about his 9 zillion stories. And as I say, it's just one right after the other. But I couldn't resist the Easy Bake Oven. And I assume so far that we don't know what sent this family to the hospital, because they didn't eat the contents of what they baked. And near as anybody could tell,
they didn't. It seemed like the bad part about was when I was trying to bring this story up to actually get a good view of it. Okay, I all kept on like it just wouldn't do it. Like, wouldn't bring it up completely. And I read
the whole thing in 4-part harmony, and I got to tell you that nobody knows anything. But it did send 3 people to the hospital, and the first thing I said is, "Where was this thing made?" And obviously, it's plastic. What was in it? Who knows? But apparently, the emergency room didn't know. But obviously survived it, or we wouldn't be knowing about it. Now, as I mentioned, this New Jersey traffic stop, a cop stops somebody for DUI, and then the chief of police comes up and starts to harass him, and he's drunk as a skunk. And apparently this was all on body cam, And so, meanwhile, the chief of police is suspended, and the officer who he was berating is not suspended. But I was found this interesting small town in New Jersey. The chief of police is making $174,000, and apparently it isn't the first time he was drunk on the job.
Yeah, that's, I'm just like, it must be, okay, it must be a hard job.
Yeah.
You have to drink himself to sleep.
Yeah. Well, and then of course we have a ton of stories where we're finding out that things could kill us, whether it's picking at our hangnails. Yes, that could cause us to be a goner, or perhaps even taking some Sudafed. It could all be over. So whatever your fear is, they've got it.
I got two that basically are two rather interesting ones that actually were three that actually sparked my interest. I had almost forgotten to mention there was the one about childhood buddies who meet each other. They had like met on a trip and they had lost contact, and they met, managed to find each other years later.
Yeah. That's always good to know. What's really good to know is they didn't murder each other.
Yes.
So,
then there was the kind of sad but also inspiring story of an AIDS activist who was abandoned as a baby.
Uh-huh.
She was HIV positive. Was born. Mm-hmm. Hey, her mother had probably been a crack addict,
mm-hmm.
and everything was against this baby. They said, the doctor said, the baby's not going to live that long.
Baby's fine.
And she lived to 39,
yeah.
Which is doing a lot better than what her odds were expect.
Oh, absolutely. And then we have a 15-year-old African-American girl who started working at Chick-fil-A as a teenager. By the time she was 26, she was a franchise owner. Good for her.
Yes, and then there was the one where you say, okay, don't be half asleep or not paying attention while you're on the L train. In Chicago, almost forgot how to stop. And I see this all the time happening where they have to pull the thing, and of course, it bothers the living daylights out of it. But usually guys pulling are usually guys who are trying to sell weed, and all that kind of stuff.
Now, obviously, as you mentioned, she missed her stop. She thinks that, she needs to get off anyway. She falls off onto the tracks, but that's not good enough. Then she falls through the tracks about 20 feet below, and I figured we'd be talking about she's dead. No, all she did was break her leg.
Yeah, because she fell into the bed of a pickup truck.
That was amazing too. And what I wonder was the truck moving at the time?
They don't say.
I couldn't find that out either. But I thought, man, this is one where I want film at 11. Then they have an interesting picture here of an Amazon delivery truck. And you only see half of it because the other half was split by a train. Yeah, so when you hear Amazon off, you usually think it's a sale. All right, so yeah.
But I'm also thinking, they can say to the customers, your package had a train to catch.
Yeah. Well, and it did. So yes, as usual, a wonderful group of stories, and thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, talk to you soon.
You take care.
All right, you too.
Okay.
Yeah, the delivery van literally cut in half. And from what I know, the driver is fine. You know, talk about having a guardian angel. Well, all right. So, and somebody else, by the way, I think caught it on their dash cam. So I have not seen that footage, but that probably is fairly impressive too. But I really wish they had footage of the gal who fell off the tracks onto the back of the pickup truck. Yeah, just one of those amazing things. Roger is in LaGrange. Roger, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi.
What's up?
Yeah. I got my first radio in the summer of 1962.
Best year.
There were three stations that I could get out of Chicago. WGN, WLS, but I can't remember the third one.
No, probably WCFL. Could have been WIND.
Oh.
Could have been MAQ. There's a lot of possibilities. You should have been able to get several of them.
Well, I just had, you know, the cheap little plastic.
Yeah, no, even so, I mean, you know, I assume you could pick up all the 50 kilowatts as well as WIND at 560. So, what do you remember? Here you were in 1962. Best summer ever, as far as I'm concerned. I loved 62. Here your first radio, your little transistor, you're sitting there probably in your bedroom listening to your favorite stations, whatever they were.
Actually out in the backyard.
Oh, backyard's
on
good.
The swing set.
Okay,
listening
good.
Listening to the White Sox.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then the popular radio stations. Do you know who the disc jockeys were back then?
Well, sure. That's easy to come by. Now, at the time, WCFL wasn't top 40 yet, so the ball game was really WLS more than anything else, because also WVON hadn't occurred yet. So if you were like me and you wanted to listen to that stuff, you were talking about, you know, listening to GES or something like that. But 1962 for LS, because remember, LS went top 40 in 1960, so they were firmly entrenched by 62, and of course GN, oh my God, but you know, I think that not sure in 62. I think Dick Biondi was already at WLS in 62 for sure. When I
Dick Biondi, yes,
yeah. When I think about
your name,
and
yeah,
and in fact, it was 62 was funny because WYNR with 1390 was pretty much mimicking WLS's format and playing the same songs right after they played them. But you know, let's think about what that lineup would be for 62. All right, who would be there? Bob Hale, Gene Taylor. All right, Gene Taylor was still program director. He replaced Sam Holman, and that would have happened in 61. So he would have been okay. So let me think about who would be the jocks. Why is this not? I can probably look it up online and see the.
I can ask my telephone.
Well, right, absolutely, and you'd see all of them. But normally, yeah. Normally I'd know all of this. I think that Jim Dunbar was there for a while, and. I don't know. Like I say, I know Gene Taylor was PD, but let's just look them up. 1962 WLS lineup. It should be online, don't you think? I would think, or somebody have a survey.
Has
a survey or something.
I'd rather talk to you.
Yeah. No. Well, let's see. WLS schedule. Here we go. We got schedules. How about that? So let's see.
All right.
1962. Ah, Mort Crowley is in mornings. Jim Dunbar is in middays. Art Roberts is in early afternoons. Then Gene Taylor, like I say, and Bob Hale, I mentioned him, Dick Biondi, Clark Weber. So now also, remember in 62, they were still running at least an hour of Don McNeil's Breakfast Club because they were still still forced to do that by ABC. And they also had from 6:30 to 7:30, they had a news program. But, Mort did mornings, and then Dunbar and Art Roberts, Gene Taylor, Bob Hale, Biondi, of course, and Clark Weber.
Now, do you remember your first radio and, like, what brand it was?
Probably the Zenith Transoceanics. They always said they were portable. They were luggable. They'd have a handle on the top. But I had those Zenith Transoceanics
It had the tubes and stuff.
Of course it had tubes. Absolutely, it had tubes. Oh, yeah. And it was shortwave. as well. And then when they came out, the Royal series of Zenith, which would have been like the latter 50s through the early 60s, like the Royal 285 and 275 and 265. You know, those Royals, I love those for AM radio. But my adopted dad, he was the distributor of Zenith and Norge in South America. So if it was on Zenith, I had it. And you know, I had a Norge washer too, but who'd care as a kid? In any event, so that Transoceanic was my favorite. And those Zenith Royals were great. You know, and then, of course, all the radio stations gave away transistor radios, I guess, starting in about 59 or so. And, you know, they were, you know, they had the call letters on them or whatever, and they were invariably terrible radios. But the ones I thought were clever were the ones that only picked up one station, whatever was on their dial position. And, that was great.
Yeah,
if it
I
was
remember
a,
just getting three stations.
Yeah. Right. Well, you could have gotten a lot more, but as a kid, why would you have cared? Now, back in 62, who was carrying the White Sox?
Yeah.
Who was the station? Do you remember?
No.
Okay, because, of course, GN was carrying the Cubs, but who was carrying the White Sox?
Yeah, being from the south side there, I always listened to
The Sox. The Sox were on WCFL AM 1000.
Okay,
so that was the deal, of course, owned by the Chicago Federation of Labor. But back then, I don't think you'd have been as interested in the station, although my all-time favorite morning man was on there, who I thought he was just brilliant, was Dan Sorkin. And he was on CFL. And in fact, summer 62, he was still there.
All right.
Yeah. So there you go. So yes. Now, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great to find a radio where you could turn it on and it would still be broadcasting the summer 62? Oh man, I'd kill for that thing.
It would be something.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad you called, Roger. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for talking to me.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Bye.
I didn't realize that CFL had carried him from 52 to 66. All right, well, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh on WGN Radio.
Somebody told me she loves me, she loves me, she told me, she told me, and that's how I know. Just wait till you see her face. I'll bet even yours will glow. I could say bella or say que beleza to praise her, but tell me what good will it do? Just wait till you see her smile. You just won't believe it's true. Like the sound
like
of,
the
thunder,
sound
in
of
the sky.
Thunder in the sky.
Like the waves,
like the
go,
waves
crashing in
go crashing
the
in the sea.
That's the way
that's
her
the
love,
way
affected
love affected me.
And you feel as I do, if you know what I know. Somebody told me she loves me, she loves me. She told me, she told me how lucky for me. Get delicious you and know that it's all for me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Marcus Valle and his wife at the time, Anna Maria. And she was not a singer, she was just his wife. She was 19 at the time, and her dad had run Rede Globo, the radio network in Brazil, and they married. And for a while, they came to the States before they recorded that, like 66. In fact, they were with Sergio Mendes before Brazil 66 really got forms. They had done some of that, but I thought she was just terrific. And sadly, it wasn't a pretty end for her. They divorced, and then she wound up too much drugs, more than anything, and just flat out went crazy. And she was, they called her the Lady in White because she would, like, roam the Rio beaches, just head to foot, dressed in white, you know, and all that stuff. And God, I remember a few years ago, Reggie got hit by a bus and survived it. And she was homeless, you know what I mean? And her dad by then had been dead. And of course, Marcus Valle had gone on and was married to his next wife, who was the only other wife for him. But nonetheless, she died this past summer. I was trying to think of her last name. Of course, Valle is what she went by when she was married to Marcus. But nonetheless, she was on that second album, Samba 68, and I think just did a terrific job on that for someone, like I say, who wasn't a singer. And so, of course, Marcus Valle went on to all sorts of fame, less so in the States, but certainly in Brazil. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. You know, when all else fails, we've got the tabloids. I've got a fresh crop right here. Yes, King Charles and his 6 months to live coming up. Better yet, your calls on WGN Radio. Marcus Valle, yes, from Brazilians, 1966, Surfing in Rio. And I love that song. I used to have to fly out of LAX all the time, and this is going back like almost 50 years. I would, on rollout, I would know exactly what point to start that on my little portable player, which I don't even remember what it was back then. It might have been one of those horrible little Norelco things, but in any, but in any event, there was a point where I knew on rollout to just go ahead and, you know, on the ground roll, to hit start and then just at liftoff, and because you're always going out over the sea. Well, and some days you're coming in the other way, but most of the time going out over the Pacific Ocean, where the crescendo of the music would just start at liftoff. And so every time I hear that that song, I remember back in the days when flying was actually fun. Yeah, that's been a while. All right, so Mike in Muncie, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
What's up?
Oh, that guy was talking about his first radio?
Yeah.
Well, that brings to me my mind, my first radio. I always liked the General Electric portable radios.
Okay, what years are we talking?
Well, in 1958, I got one for Christmas, you know, when I was a kid, the model P805.
Okay.
And it was a pretty good little radio, five transistors. Like, it was kind of made like the All-American 5 tube radios at that time.
Right. Yeah, made out of
I was in the radio.
Made out of Bakelite, as I recall, but you know.
Yeah, it was Bakelite. Yeah. And they came in different colors. I had a white one, but they made them in blue and black and in different colors.
Yeah.
But then when I was in the radio club, and
I'm losing you. Come back to me. Speak.
Oh,
there you are.
Fading out.
You were. You and your mic were nowhere near each other. So.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm trying to work with you here.
All right.
I'm on the cell phone, so.
Yeah, I understand.
Sometimes they fuzz out.
Well, yes.
Anyway, in 10th grade, my chemistry teacher brought me this radio to repair for him. He needed a dial cord in it, and it was a General Electric P780, a big, big, huge radio with a big cast front end on it, and that was a fantastic radio.
Uh-huh.
In fact, that I've acquired one of those, and that's how I listen to you. I can't listen to a line radio because there's too much static on the AC line.
Uh-huh.
But I use that portable radio to this day to listen to
you. That's great.
And there's AM static on the radio tonight, so there's going to be storms sometime soon.
Somewhere,
That's how you can tell the weather on an AM radio.
Yeah, very often. Absolutely.
Well, I grew up in the Detroit area. Do you have any knowledge of a few Detroit stations?
Oh, well, Lucky Keener 13, of course. Miss Nellie Knorr, the widow who owned that station. Keener had some great jocks, Bob Green and many others. And sure, lots of great Detroit radio, WXYZ when it was top 40 for a minute. Then later, of course, CK.
Yeah, that was my favorite, WXYZ. Okay. And then
CK when they
CKLW,
went.
CKLW, yeah, of course. Everybody right. went crazy for
when,
CKLW.
Right, when CK went top 40, of course, the game was over. But, you know, before that, I think Keener.
Yeah, I wasn't very much a fan of Keener.
Well,
I don't know. It was kind of bubblegum music, really. But
it depends
but
when you
that,
no. It depends when you were listening, obviously. So it sounds like you were probably listening in the latter '60s.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Well, by then,
but the guy that I remember the best was a guy named Tom Shannon at night on CKLW.
Of course, Tommy Shannon.
Are you
bet.
Familiar with him?
Yes, absolutely.
He had a show from 11 to 12 at night. He used to call the Bearskin Rug.
Uh huh.
And that was fantastic. He would slow down everything and play soft, you know like poetry and romantic songs. I just really liked that show.
Well, Tom Shannon, of course, was huge at KBW in Buffalo. And,
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. And then
was
CK.
That before or after CKLW?
Before. He's originally from Buffalo, and he worked at a lot of the little stations in town and then became a jock on KB and from there went to CK. And actually, he was at CK twice and at KB twice, but he also worked at GR in Detroit. And KBW TV.
WJR?
GR. GR in Buffalo. I'm sorry. GR in Buffalo, not JR. GR and KBW TV. He was in Denver for a while, but I think both at KLZ and KHOW. And then he was back in Detroit. He was on Magic. Remember MJC and
WMJC. Yeah,
right. Right. He was on that. And of course, you know, the big thing about Tommy Shannon was he wrote Wild Weekend, which was his little personal theme song, and it later became a hit by the Rockin' Rebels.
Right, I remember that song.
Yeah, Wild Weekend. So that was his. He and Phil Todaro did that. But sadly, he's been gone a couple of years now, but he made it to 82.
Wow, yeah, I already passed away. But,
yeah.
And the guy after that followed him was a guy named Don Z. He played, his theme song was really wild. I can't remember now what it was, but it was spooky.
Uh-huh.
You know, like Halloween music or something. It was really crazy.
Yeah,
I've heard that a few times over the years, but I can't think of what the name of it was. But
yeah,
it was pretty cool. Yeah, I listened to CKLW, and then there was a couple of smaller stations in the market too. There was a small station in Royal Oak called WHFI.
And
I listened to that some, but I've tooled around. I've listened to WLS, of course, and W.
Well, sure.
You know,
sure.
Because on the radio at night, it's just amazing. I'm a radio guy, so.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the Corvair guy. I'll bug you about Corvairs.
Yes. Yes. It's wonderful talking about Corvairs.
Yeah. I've had it. That was my first car in 67.
Yeah. Well, you're not alone. There were a lot of drivers because it was relatively inexpensive and relatively sporty and kind of neat to have a trunk in the front.
Oh, yeah. It was neat. I mean, I bought it because I was fascinated with the air-cooled engine.
Yeah.
But the car lasted me 10 years and 150,000 miles, so I can't complain. It was
right.
A good car.
No, 150,000 miles on a Chevy in the 60s is darn good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, neat.
Well, I still got them, too. I still work on them, so that's pretty cool.
Well, good. All right.
As I call them, air-cooled.
Yes. Yeah, precisely. Well, I'm delighted you called, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Riley.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay. Well.
So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh, and that is going to take us to Tom in Kentucky. Hello, Tom. Welcome to WGN. I had to think where I was.
Oh, my goodness. Hello, Raleigh. Good to talk with you again.
Yeah.
A couple of things. I remember when JJD was rock and roll for a while before they went country.
Well, of course. They were one of the plow stations. And
right.
Yeah, Shearing Plow. And what was interesting about that, of course, as you know, is they were always kind of had their hands tied because they had to run down at sundown for Utah time. Because
Utah, that's right. They had to protect KSL.
That's exactly right. And so they did very well considering that.
But what I also wanted to talk to you about was, when I was a kid for Christmas, I got this AM shortwave pocket radio.
Uh-huh.
and I don't know the name or the brand or anything, but it had some wheels on the side for your volume and your dial.
Right.
And on the back of it was the switch to switch from AM to shortwave. And on the left side, there was an antenna that you could physically remove from the radio and put it in a little pouch.
Uh-huh.
And it had a carrying case, and it was sold by a hardware chain at the time in Ohio called Cussin and Fern.
Okay.
And I don't know what it was. I sure wish it ran on a 9-volt battery.
Right.
And I don't know what in the world, what kind it was, but I've talked to you before about the Champion City Broadcasting Company and WBLY back in the day when they were, I've talked with you about that.
Yeah.
But what I used to like to do was, I lived in Central Ohio at the time, and you could get LS in the day, but the problem was we had WRFD in Columbus at 880, giving them a lot of grief, and I was 50 miles away from Columbus where I lived at the time. And in West Central Ohio, you could get 670, 780, 890, 1000, and 1160.
Yeah.
Not full quieting, of course,
right,
but it would be a listenable signal, okay?
Right.
It had a great presence there. But I sure wish, and I've talked with other people about that radio, but one of the better receivers in that time was the Lafayette HE-10 receiver from 59 to 63.
Right.
And, man, I love that.
But I'm trying to think of, and I've seen that radio too, and I'm trying to think of.
Yeah,
because the thing was, it was AM and shortwave, not AM, FM and shortwave.
No FM on it at all.
No, at all, exactly.
Nope. The thing is, Raleigh, between the thumb wheels, there were, it looked like braille dots, AKKK. Now, I know they weren't, okay, but that was just the design thing. And then, when you would take the radio out of the carrying case, on the bottom was a little stand that you could turn to the left or the right to set the radio up on a table or something.
Yeah. No,
yeah, and that's, I wish I had that radio.
Right, yeah, it was AMSW. No, I know. Oh.
Yeah, AMS, that's all it was.
Yeah.
And the sensitivity was not bad on it for what it was.
Right, exactly. No, I'm trying.
I remember I got it for Christmas, and my dad said, "Now, son, that battery costs 29 cents. Don't run it yet."
Yeah, those 9-volt batteries, right?
Yeah.
And everything was those 9-volt batteries. And, you know, today I don't think I have anything that uses a 9-volt battery.
I know. I used to take, we were kids, and somebody said, "Hey, take and put your tongue on the terminal."
Oh, right, yeah.
You used to do that a lot.
Well, yeah, you know, you'd always lick the batteries to see if they were good. But
yeah,
I must admit, I'm still known to do it. But
oh yeah, and one problem that happened with the radio that I thought it was done, the volume control, somehow the screw that held it in there fell off, and the whole thing, the volume knob off on, went inside the radio, but my brother took it apart and saw what happened and put it back together, and voila.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, put the volume knob back on it, but I let my brother borrow it, and somebody stole it back in 65.
Oh, no.
And the radio was, Raleigh, the thing was phenomenal for what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of those old radios, if a station was broadcasting in the upper end of the band, you could go down to the lower end of the band and hear images.
Oh, of course. Well, you know the harmonics would be there, of course. You could double the frequency or cut it in half, but I'm still trying to think.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that it was marketed as MWSW, because it wasn't called AM on this radio, it was MWSW.
Right, MWSW.
Yes.
Yeah, MWSW. I sure wish I had one.
Yeah, no.
I don't know if there's any way to do this, but
okay,
if I could.
I might have just found one. I looked this up. There's something on eBay. I hope it hasn't sold. Let's see. And, yeah, oh, wow. It's, Oh, well, it's obviously doesn't matter here because the damn thing was made in Russia, but it's MWSW.
MWSW.
Yeah, the Olympic...
This thing was made in Japan, I believe, at the time.
Well, this the Olympic 402, MWSW, and let's see what else it says about it. But it's, it, you know, it's USSR, but it doesn't matter. It's not digital. You don't care what...
no, I don't care about that. I could care less.
Well, no, I mean, if it was digital, we don't use the same frequency separation.
Well, so, that's exactly right, because they're on that 9 kilohertz.
Right, exactly. So, but yeah. with this, wow. So you might go to eBay now. It says Vintage USSR MWSW Pocket Radio Receiver, and they're just looking for $10.99 or best offer. So
can you tell by looking at it, Raleigh, if the antenna is on the left side of the radio?
Yes, it is on the left side of the radio, yes.
Okay, and...
And also, on the bottom of it, it has a little, like, drawing of a ship. It's in an aqua color. And I'm trying. I know why I can't read the letters. Of course, it's Russian.
Russian.
It's not our alphabet. But you know, that's a problem with that. And of course, they'd be looking at it in meters. But I don't know. It's something to look at anyway. So yeah, but it's not the same one. I'll tell you that.
No.
But it's probably from the same era. Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
I got, and my mom paid $29 or $30 for it, and then a year earlier I got my first open reel tape machine, which is a Recordio.
Oh God.
And she paid, how about that?
Yeah.
And she paid $70, and my dad raised pure hell about that.
Oh man. That's so...
The old Recordio. It's a half-track mono machine.
Yeah. Oh, no. I remember
two speeds.
Yes.
And you change the speed with a screwdriver. There was a little thing on the back, you know. And it did not have fast forward.
Right.
It was really crazy.
Right.
And there was no headphone jack on it or nothing. And I don't know how many tubes it had in it.
It was also something that you could close it, and it had a handle, you know, which they made you think that it was portable, but it wasn't portable. It was luggable. I mean, this. I think you can probably still get those on eBay also. But although, you know, some of the, when they got into quarter track, and of course they tried to do the reel to reel for home use and all that, the absolute worst. God love the 3M company. They made a quarter track reel-to-reel recorder with one head. The head was erase, it was record, it was everything.
I remember when they had a three-head machine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then, of course, I've had a jillion Sony 105, man. They came out, I think, in 67 or 66, somewhere around there. And all that neat stuff. But I've got all this stuff, but nowhere to use it anymore, hardly.
Well, only your own, with your own stuff, of course, you know.
Right.
So
that's all.
Yeah, but no, I still keep a quarter track and half track and full track. In fact, for quarter track, I've got those Pioneers RT901s. I like those.
And, that's a good machine.
Well, they are, and you know what? They're indestructible. I can't tell you how many times I've dropped this sucker, but it's heavy. I'll tell you, that falls on your foot. You remember
it? You're gone. You're gone.
Yeah, happened to me twice.
And then, you know, Sony made a luggable portable recorder.
Yeah.
That was a half-track machine that ran on, what, 8 or so many D batteries or something.
Right, right. Was that the TC530, I think?
No, I don't think so, Raleigh. Okay. I think that was a stereo deck, wasn't it, for Sony?
No.
This thing was made back in 69 or 70.
Yeah,
But it did not have... What I didn't like, it didn't have cue and review on it.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't like that. And it had the third, it did not have the third head. And a friend of mine got one from a Sony distributor in Springfield, Ohio at the time. And they brought it out to my house and let me use it. And I think, man, this is cool.
Yeah.
But it was like about $300 or something.
Right, and that's the late 60s, $300. But it was interesting back then. I remember I had a Tanberg. And
Yeah, that's some good stuff.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, man, some great. But I sure wish I could find that radio or the old Lafayette HE-10. The problem is, you know, those things, we have a different current in our houses today. We have 120 volts AC, okay? Uh-huh. Well, back then it was only like 110 AC.
Yeah.
But and what happens, these transformers and components, they'll blow up. Like if I turn on my Sony 105 now, it gets hot.
No, you're right about that. Now the HE-10, that was a lot like that Hallicrafters, the S-38.
So, that thing, band one was the broadcast band.
Yeah.
And then 2, 3, and 4 were portions of the ham band on that thing, the Lafayette HE-10.
Oh, yeah. No, you can get those. They're still available on eBay.
Oh, yeah. But here again, you don't know what kind of shape they're in.
Well, you don't. That's not. But if you pay with PayPal, no matter what it is, you can send it back.
But for me, that's such a hassle because I'm blind and I don't have a convenient way to do this stuff. So
yeah.
I'm kind of out in the boondocks on that.
Yeah, no, I got that. So it doesn't make it easy.
I use my amateur radio transceiver to DX on my Kenwood TS-480 SAT on a dipole up about 60 feet in the air.
All right.
Feeding it with a center insulator. And not as good as the Macintosh.
No, well,
not as good as the Mac.
No, that's a league above my pay grade when you're talking Macintosh. Oh,
I'm just interested in the tuner part.
Yeah.
I just wonder if the tuners are really that exceptional.
I never heard anybody refer to Macintosh because of their selectivity, that their reception. I never heard that, so I don't know. Now, of course, in the early days, we all had the same problems with FM until the field effect transistors and all that, because they drifted like crazy. But mostly that's what people are talking about. But I don't, you know, now that you mention it, no one ever raved about Macintosh reception.
Yeah, now the only one I ever knew that did was a guy. He had a tube-type Mac tuner.
Yeah.
And he said they went solid state in 1970, is what he told me.
Probably.
But I never have. For example, let's just say WGN is at 720, of course. You could tune off to the side.
Yes.
And if there was something audible on 710 or 730,
yes,
you could hear it.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. That separation was terrific. You've ended the night.
Yeah.
Call me again soon.
Okay, I sure will,
thanks.
Raleigh.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
All right.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
Indeed. So that pretty much is it. Apologies to Sherry in Naperville. Call earlier. We're on tomorrow night after the game. I think we'll be about 15 minutes late, but then again, it is basketball. It could be any time, but keep checking back. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank the three of you who called. What a night. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.